It's time for another edition of the FantasyGuru.com show. And now, here's your host from FantasyGuru.com, John Hansen.
Welcome to another edition of the FantasyGuru.com podcast. Today is Wednesday, April 8th. We are 3 weeks away from the NFL draft, and we're going to break it down for the next hour or so with our guy Greg Cosell from NFL Films at Greg Cosell on Twitter. First, a quick reminder, the early bird discount to FantasyGuru.com ends on May 1st. Actually subscribe for 2015 for a price that is 20% lower than we charged two decades ago. So check that out at FantasyGuru.com. Time, though, to bring in our guy Greg Cosell. Greg, how are you, sir?
John, my friend, how are you?
I'm very well, and I understand that you've been kind of locked in the vault room, the film room there, and you're the best in the business. That's why we love you, and you've been studying a lot of tape here, these incoming rookies, Greg.
That's all I've been doing. My brain's on overload, John, but we'll see if I can speak in clear, coherent sentences this afternoon.
I have a lot of confidence in you, Greg, that you'll do that. You're a very articulate individual, so... you know what? Let's just get started here. And obviously, we're a fantasy site, so we focus on the skill players, and that will be the focus today. Maybe if we have some time, we could touch on the strength of this group as a whole in terms of the offensive line, because we know that's very important, and of course, the defensive players. But Greg, we'll start out obviously at the quarterback position, and we're going to go right from our rankings, our pre-draft rankings. And personally, I have a little bit of a struggle kind of wrapping my head around these players until they're drafted, but we're certainly boning up on all the skill sets these guys bring to the table and everything else. And we do have the extensive rookie report up at fantasyguru.com, but let's get into it here. We'll go Marcus Mariota first, Greg, obviously out of Oregon, 6'4", ran a 4.540. Obviously, Greg, coming from Oregon's wide open offense, he's going to need some time to develop. And I think the first thing is for the teams that draft him, they've got to have a plan, Greg, and they've got to take advantage of the attributes that this kid showed in college.
Well, this is the most difficult question you face with quarterbacks who play in number one spread offenses like this, and number two, who's a major part of their skill set is improvisational plays. Because what will happen here with Marcus Mariota is his mobility and his ability to make plays outside of structure, John, will help him early in his career, and which will be wonderful for fantasy. But he'll face the same issue that all of these scheme-based spread mobile quarterbacks ultimately must face, and that's can they become refined pocket quarterbacks with the subtle nuances that are demanded to play consistently over time. And all you need to do is look at the Colin Kaepernicks, the Cam Newtons, and I know Cam Newton is a good fantasy player, and that's the point, I guess. But if you're just talking about, relatively speaking, quality of quarterback play, you have to be a little careful, in my view, when you draft Marcus Mariota, that you don't so focus on the movement that you don't teach him how to play NFL quarterback.
Well, he does have the great reputation, a strong leader. It really seems like an extremely high character guy and all that. And that certainly is helpful. Are there any teams that you look at now? And again, the team that drafts Mariota, unless it's Chip Kelly and the Eagles, I'm personally not ruling that out, but are there any teams out there that you look at and you could say, okay, I can see Mariota fitting in here? That's probably a tough question, Greg, but any thoughts on... go ahead.
There's only two teams, really, that run a semblance of the Chip Kelly offense, and that's Chip Kelly in Philadelphia, and it's Bill Lazor, the OC in Miami. No other team really does specifically that, although those teams mix and match. You know, I think that the transition is... there'll be debates about how extreme the transition might be. My guess is whoever drafts him, he'll play sooner than later. But the reality is all quarterbacks from some form of spread college offense, they're projections. And there's a lot to like about Mariota, but it's still a projection.
Yeah, it's frustrating for me seeing, you know, read option plays on seemingly every snap. Now, he did at times kind of win from the pocket, Greg. I guess it's just not as frequent as we'd like to see for a rookie entering the NFL?
Well, it's not that he can't throw from the pocket, John. He can throw it from the pocket. Right. The problem is in that kind of offense, which is such a terrific college offense, it's what you don't see on film that you have to feel good about, because you don't see throws from a muddied pocket. You don't see him throw with anticipation. You don't see tight window throws. So you have to decide as an evaluator and an organization, how important is that? I haven't seen those things on film, and I'm going to need to see them in the NFL.
Right, right. For fantasy, we do kind of like the fact that he's got a second gear as a runner, so we'll likely see zone read. We'll see some read option with him this year, no matter where he is. So that, Greg, is why we have him at number one. And moving on to Jameis Winston, certainly the physical skills, Greg, are there. We can put the off the field stuff, you know, to the side. We all know about it, but Winston really projects pretty darn well here. Probably the most talented pure thrower in this class. Stands tall in the pocket most of the time. Can extend the plays. And I really like Greg. I mean, for what it's worth, he does seem to get it in terms of what he says, how he talks about his game, and how he talks about the position. He says a lot of good things. Break him down real quick. I know you have some slow element issues in terms of his delivery, maybe, and the shaky footwork. So get into the negatives of Winston as well.
Yeah. I mean, what he is essentially, John, is he's a good-sized pocket passer with a strong arm, a natural sense of anticipation, which is critical, and the willingness to turn it loose. And those things are critical in the NFL. Now, he's got a lot of inconsistency to his game in many areas, including some accuracy issues and decision-making issues. The big concern that I would have, and I think it showed up on film, it showed up at his pro day, is the fact that he's a heavy-footed kid. He's very deliberate in how he moves. And you wonder what impact that'll have in the NFL with a faster game, more pressure, his delivery. And everybody talked about his pro day, that his delivery was a little bit cleaned up. I don't put a whole lot of stock in that, because once you get into a game, you throw the way you've thrown your whole life.
Kind of like Blake Bortles, right?
Yeah, his delivery won't change. You know, and it's funny you mentioned Blake Bortles, because I spoke to a number of people who were at Bortles Pro Day last year and who were at Winston's Pro Day this year. And this may mean absolutely nothing, but, you know, everybody focuses on Pro Days. And everybody said that Bortles Pro Day just blew away Winston's Pro Day. Whatever that means, it probably means nothing. But yeah, Winston is a good prospect, but he's a prospect, and he's got some things that need to be cleaned up. Neither one of these guys are quote-unquote can't-miss prospects.
But at least, Greg, he comes from a pro-style offense, and he has a lot of the traits that I know you look for as a pro.
Absolutely.
And when you really compare Winston, let's just go back 5-6 years, if you remove all the spread read option running guys, he kind of stacks up pretty well, I would think.
You mean if you go back to like the quarterbacks who were taken number one?
Yeah, if you look at the first round quarterbacks the last 5-6 years, excluding Andrew Luck.
He wouldn't have been considered at the same level of Luck. He wouldn't have been considered at the same level as Sam Bradford coming out of Oklahoma. And I'm trying to think of the other quarterbacks who were taken.
Matt Stafford, he wouldn't
compare. I don't believe he would have been taken. He would have been seen at the same level coming out as Matthew Stafford. So he's got a lot of positive traits. It's just, how do you evaluate the ones that are troublesome on film? How do you feel about that? And you have to decide that. And then you have to decide what you can coach.
If he does go to Tampa, as everyone in the world expects, Greg, how much of a concern? Look, it's a concern for any rookie quarterback. That line in Tampa stinks. They let go of Anthony Collins. Would that be make it a little harder for him in year one playing behind that line in Tampa?
It certainly would, because, as we said, he's not a quick twitch kid. He plays a little deliberately, and he's going to have to play a little faster, and we'll see how that plays out.
Let's move on to Bryce Petty. I know you're at least intrigued by Petty out of Baylor at 6'3", 230. Very athletic, but, you know, gimmicky offense and all that, obviously an Art Briles spread system. Your thoughts on him? I know you like the way he throws that ball, but there's a lot of work to do.
There's a lot, and he's very scattershot with his accuracy. A lot of it has to do with the fact that he throws a lot of balls off balance, which is a function of that offense. So again, you come back to the same point, John. The game he played at Baylor and the skills required to play it don't say much about how he'll transition to the NFL. There's a lot to learn. It's funny. We could talk about quarterbacks for 3 hours, as you know. He's got to learn how to move his feet with his eyes. He has no idea how to do that, which is why he throws a lot of balls off balance. But then there's other times he looks like Derek Carr with his ability to snap it off with pure arm and no lower body mechanics. But I'm just concerned about the accuracy. Misses a lot of routine throws, and if you miss those throws in college, you just don't have a great feeling about that in the NFL.
Yeah, especially when he's out of the shotgun all the time.
He'll be starting from scratch. He's starting from scratch.
He also had two ACL injuries, as you know, so he's taking a lot of shots. He runs a lot. And, Greg, next up on the list is Brent Hundley. And it's a little disconcerting to me because I do these quarterback rankings for keeper leagues for the long term, and I'm not very optimistic once guys like Peyton Manning and Drew Brees and Tony Romo leave. You know, this is three of the top four guys here, Mariota, Petty, and Hundley, who are these start-from-scratch guys, Greg. I mean, what is the NFL going to do other than, I guess, adjust to what they're getting from the college ranks?
Well, you can't adjust because that style does not work in the NFL. So NFL offense might change, but the quarterback position it theoretically won't change because – this is a whole different conversation, John, but Brett Hundley is going to have a very long learning curve, and he may never get there. He needs to be drafted in the third round or later, so there's no expectations. And the biggest concern you have with him is he has very little sense of the pocket, very little pocket awareness, very little pocket command. But because he's a big kid who can move and has a plus arm, not a great arm, a plus arm, somebody's going to look at those traits, those combination of traits, and say, oh, we can work with him. But again, you get back to the fact that he has no pocket feel whatsoever. Hard to play that way in the NFL.
Yeah, how does he compare to a guy like EJ Manuel? Because we kind of made that comparison. Maybe EJ Manuel was a little bit more pro-ready or projected a little bit better than a Brett Hundley.
Theoretically, he was more pro-ready, whatever that means, because of the offense in which he played. But I think you could argue that there are some similarities between the two. Of course, Emmanuel was a first-round pick. I think he was the 16th pick overall. But, you know, Hundley's got another issue, too, which he does not show great vision in the pocket. He's got what we call slow eyes, which is a term I learned from Bill Polian. And as soon as he told me this about 3 or 4 years ago, and I went back to watching tape, it just opened up a whole new vista for me, and I knew exactly what he meant. And Brett Hundley has slow eyes.
You know, I actually asked Hundley at the combine what offense he would project best to. Of course, he said Chip Kelly's in Philadelphia. Also said he grew up a big Donovan McNabb fan. If the Eagles don't find a way to get Mariota, it's probably 10% or less. Well, you wonder aloud if Chip will take a look at a Bryce Petty or a Brett Hundley as a backup developmental type of a guy.
Very possible. I mean, obviously, Chip has a certain view of how he wants to play offense, and I know he feels that his scheme in some ways can take care of and compensate for, I should say, limitations, and we'll see.
Next up, we have Brandon Bridge at 5 out of South Alabama, 6'4", 229. He's a little bit of an unknown, attempted only 373 passes in his college career, and the numbers aren't looking all that great either. It looks like a project, Greg, but I know this is basically what it comes down to with Brandon Bridge, I would think, and tell me if I'm wrong. It's all about the NFL traits, right? This kid has them, so therefore there's something to work with Brandon Bridge.
He's probably, just for people to get a comparison, this year's version of Logan Thomas. He's the best pure arm talent in this draft. He's got a ton of the traits you look for, but we know that he needs much, much refinement. He tends to be scattershot. How will he handle pressure at the NFL level? That's a question both physically and mentally. He's not going to be ready to play early on. It's like what Bruce Arians did with Logan Thomas. He gave him a redshirt year. I think that that's what you do with Brandon Bridge. And Logan Thomas got drafted, I believe, in the fourth round. My guess is Bridge is a fourth, fifth, sixth round pick. But he's, as I said, he's the best pure thrower of this draft class. Mississippi State recruited him when he came out of, I think it was a JUCO. So he was a Division I recruit. Obviously, you know, he ended up at South Alabama and really only played for about a year, a little more. So he's got very little experience. But if you watch games, and I watched five games of Brandon Bridge, and he did play against Mississippi State. The other games were obviously lesser competition. But you see NFL throws.
Yeah, moldable is a word that we kind of use in our pre-draft rookie report, which, again, you could check out at fantasyguru.com. Blake Sims next up here at Alabama. Again, we've fallen off here in terms of the tiers.
Well, you're missing a guy who should be way higher on your list, John.
Okay, Garrett Grayson?
Yeah, Garrett Grayson to me is the wild card in this draft. He's far more advanced as a prospect than Brett Hundley. He showed quarterback traits on film, whereas Hundley flashed athletic skills. Grayson,
that's the disconnect, though, Greg, because we got it. We're doing the fantasy thing, so it stinks because I hear you, but continue on.
And
Grayson.
I understand. Believe me, I understand. So, but I think Grayson's a guy that could be ready to play before Hundley is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, is it about? What do you like about Grayson again? 6'2", 213. He's not certainly overwhelming physically, but he does have those big hands. Solid pocket passer.
Yeah. And, just because I know we want to move on here with a lot of guys to talk about at a lot of positions. To me, Grayson, with development and coaching, I sort of asked myself the question, can he become kind of a Teddy Bridgewater kind of quarterback? Because he's actually got a little better arm than Bridgewater. Now, he's not going to be a guy who comes in and plays as a rookie, although theoretically Bridgewater was not supposed to either. He ended up having a nice rookie season. But I think Grayson is the wild card quarterback in this draft.
I think one of the things that we also isolated was just you talk about lack of foot speed. Grayson pretty slow, though, with a long windup, correct?
Got a bit of a windup. And again, that's an issue, there's no question, because at times he did struggle sort of to calibrate throws due to the fact that he had a little bit of a long delivery and a little hitch at the back of his windup. And I kept trying to figure out how I felt about that and whether I thought that that would be a real problem. I ended up deciding I didn't think it would be a terrible problem, but it could be one.
Yeah, we also broke it down, by the way, just so everyone knows listening, into kind of groups this year. Mariota, Winston, 1 and 2. Long-term projects, Bryce Petty, Brett Hundley, Bridge, Blake Sims, and then we had NFL backups, and that's where we had Garrett Grayson. So,
well, Blake Sims will not be a project. He may not even get drafted. He's undersized. He's not a very good thrower. Alabama changed their offense this year for him because he can move, but he's not a very good thrower.
Moving on here to the running backs, Greg, and obviously it's a good class. We're really
excited.
It's a
very good class. Yeah.
Well, Greg, hyperbole aside, but I actually sat and watched three games of Todd Gurley's, and I was like, I've seen enough. And certainly we don't know about the ACL, but
he's pretty good, though, isn't he?
But this kid is unbelievable. And I know we've thrown it around a little bit, the best back since Peterson, blah, blah, blah. This guy, Greg, is gotta be literally the best running back to come out since Adrian Peterson.
Well, I've obviously watched. I watched every game he played before he got hurt this year, and I spoke to a running back coach who I know well in the league. After I did that, and we both kind of agreed that he has elements of Steven Jackson in his prime and Marshawn Lynch in his running style, and he's probably a little more explosive than each one of those guys in terms of potentially taking it to the house.
He's a kick returner. He returned kicks, Greg, as you know.
Yep. Yeah. So I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on Gurley because, to me, he's the best back in the draft. And I think you can make an argument. Some have made this argument. He could be the best player in the draft. But he's not going to be drafted number one. But let's leave it at that.
a more comfortable receiver than Peterson, I think is fair to say. And that's good for fantasy. And we love look, Greg, the lateral agility of a smaller back and the power you'd expect of a big back. I mean, the kid's really got it all. So,
and one final comment before we move on, and this is why I love watching tape, John, is you can see the intuitive understanding of the subtleties. He knows how to use his downhill path to impact second-level defenders and set up his blocks. And those are the kinds of things you have to watch a play three or four times, you know, to really see that. And you can see that when you watch the film, he has a very intuitive feel of how to run.
He only played 30 games too at Georgia.
Yeah.
So assuming that knee is okay, boy, he is going to be really fresh, a complete stud, Todd Gurley. For what it's worth, I did interact with him a little bit at the combine. I like the way, I know he's had some off the field issues, but I like the way he carries himself and all that. I'm sure he interviews well. At number two, we have Greg J. Ajayi out of Boise State, 6'2", 221. And for fantasy, Greg, the three words that really jump out here, three down back.
Yeah, the receiver. He's a very good receiver, and he's very good in the screen game. He can actually run routes. So that, you're exactly right, John. That's why he's number two for you. And by the way, I really like J. Ajayi. I think he's got the traits of a foundation back. He's got size, he's got quick feet, he's got lateral agility, he's got burst, he's got power. You know, we discuss this all the time, and I know sometimes it's hard for people to understand the difference, but there is a significant difference with backs when you transition them to the NFL between tough and physical,
right,
and strong and powerful.
You know,
and there's
really
a lot of
go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, I was
going to
say, there's a difference. A lot of backs run hard, okay? You know, yeah, and they're tough and they're physical. They run hard, but they don't move people. So they're not strong and powerful. So there's a difference. And Ajayi, he moved people. He has natural power.
That's good stuff. We like natural power. We like being able to push the pile, fall forward for 4 yards pretty much on every touch, catch the football. You know what really jumped out at me, and maybe I'm crazy, I could not believe that kid's balance. Note on that? I was just like, wow, this guy's balance is incredible.
Yeah, I think that he had excellent balance, contact balance, which is one of the key things to run effectively in the NFL, because, you know, the NFL game, unlike the college game in some ways, is between the tackles. You have to, in order to be a really good NFL runner, you know, a high level NFL runner, you have to be good between the tackles. It's not a perimeter game. So therefore, to do that, you need contact balance, because you're running in confined space. And he did have very good contact balance.
You'd classify him as a power back, I'm sure. Right?
He's 221. His look on film, not the way he runs, but he looks body type wise like Marshawn Lynch.
Right. One other point that, you know, is worth noting for the fantasy world, a lot of touches here, Greg. Took a lot of hits. You know, he actually averaged more touches per game last year at Boise State than DeMarco Murray for the Cowboys. So I don't want you to speak on that, but that's something that we need to consider. A lot of touches. But then again, you know, a guy like Matt Forte at Tulane had like 800 touches. And he's still chugging along here. So J. Ajayi is number two. Moving on to number three. And I know you like him, Greg. Other people we talk to like him. So T.J. Yeldon comes in at number three. And we're not Melvin Gordon haters, but we'll get into that. I guess the first question, Greg, he's an Alabama running back. Have we already seen the best of T.J. Yeldon, or is he a guy – and I know he didn't get a ton of touches at Alabama — whose best football you think is still in front of him?
Well, the only way I know how to do this, John, is I evaluate the players individually. I don't base it on what came before him. Obviously, Trent Richardson has not done well, but Eddie Lacy's done fine. So I don't know what that means. I can just look at T.J. Yeldon on film, and I think that what always stood out was how quick he was in confined space. He's a big back who ran inside with the quickness and agility of a much smaller back. That to me was T.J. Yeldon. He's very compact and controlled with his cutting ability. Really a smooth and efficient runner. And I thought that his running style and his mentality was really well suited to the NFL. He intuitively attacked downhill, and he really worked effectively between the tackles. And he sort of had that Frank Gore trait of getting through small cracks at the point of attack.
Do you think that he is a good bet to be a better pro than a college player? I guess that's kind of what we're leaning toward here.
Well, because he is 6'1", 226 pounds. So there's not a concern about his size. I know some people think he runs upright. I'm not comparing him to Adrian Peterson, but the same thing was said about him when he came out. Excuse me. I don't think he's necessarily too upright. So, be a better pro? I don't know. I mean, Alabama always has two or three backs that they sort of interchange, and therefore Yeldon didn't carry 300 times, which is probably a positive.
Yeah, it is. Not a lot of touches. Real quick, the slim frame, the blocking, is that any concerns there? And also, we should mention the ball security. He did have some fumbles. You know, character-wise. Character-wise, he is one of the best, Greg. I don't know if you had a chance to meet that kid, but I did at the Combine. He seems like a really great kid.
Yeah, I have not. So, I'm just going by film, but I like Yeldon a lot, probably more than most.
Moving on to Melvin Gordon out of Wisconsin, 6'1", 215. And I guess we're Gordon haters because we don't have him at one or two, but we know he's incredibly productive running behind that huge offensive line there, and straight line speed is great. But do you see kind of what we've seen in that he doesn't have great natural power? And a lot of the times he had the big runs, Greg, I guess, big holes that you and I may have been able to get.
Yeah, he's in some ways, Gordon is a tougher evaluation. Look, overall, he's a very good prospect. Where, like you say, this is not a knock on Melvin Gordon. He's certainly an explosive speed back with excellent size, some wiggle and shiftiness, not a ton, and he certainly runs tough inside. I don't think he's as powerful as Todd Gurley. I know he's not as powerful. A couple of issues with Gordon that make him a tough evaluation. Number one is he had a ton of perimeter runs in which he was untouched. Okay, now that's not going to happen in the NFL. If I'm not mistaken, I think he had 14 or 15 runs this year of 40-plus yards. If he has, six of those, eight of those in his career, it would be a lot. So
he had a couple fly sweeps and the like, Greg, too, as well.
And by the way, that's a great way to use him. So, that's one way he'll get used. You're exactly right. So how do you evaluate 60-yard runs in which he's untouched? Because as we know, John, that's not going to happen in the NFL. Couple of things about Gordon that you have to take into account when you evaluate him. Number one, he at times, not all the time, but at times he geared down on inside runs and slowed his feet when there was no defined hole. And you can't do that in the NFL. And there were other times when, the point of attack was not clean and he didn't stop, but he clearly slowed. And, I'm just curious to see how that's going to play out in the NFL. But there's no question that this kid gets from 0 to 60 in a heartbeat, and he's got big play potential. A lot of people have compared him to Jamaal Charles. I don't see that comparison personally, but this kid does have a chance to be a very good back.
I was going to get into Charles because you were doing work with us in his rookie year back in 08, and you just praised the fact that he ran inside so hard and toughly. In fact, we liked him more than Chris Johnson in terms of the inside running. So
yeah, he was in the same draft. Yeah,
exactly.
And it's funny you say that, because I would argue that Charles is a tougher, stronger inside runner than Melvin Gordon.
Totally. That's why I brought it up. Yeah. And our fear, Greg, is that he turns into a C.J. Spiller guy. Obviously can take anything to the house, but good luck figuring out when he's going to pop one off.
Right. And that's the concern. I mean, I think is he a little bigger than Spiller? I think he is. But the big question with him is he a 20 to 22 carry guy, you know, a game guy in the NFL? I think that's an interesting question.
And of course, where does he go, Greg? Because
right.
this could a lot of this could be a moot point if the Cowboys draft him, because behind that old line, he could be good to go with space to roam. So we'll see. But there it is on Melvin Gordon. Along here, the fantasyguru.com 2015 pre-draft podcast, along with Greg Cosell. We are smack in the middle of the running backs here, moving on. So those are the guys we have classified as potential franchise backs. Gurley, Ajayi, Yeldon, Gordon, and that's it. And now we go on to future fantasy starters. Amir Abdullah, Greg, 5'9", 205 out of Nebraska, another kid I was able to kind of interact with at the combine.
He's supposed to be an amazing kid.
Amazing. Yeah, he really does project himself excellently. He's only 5'9", though, 200. I did ask him about the frame. He wants to add to it, but how much can he add to it is really the question. But,
yeah,
you know, we do like the three down back potential at the next level, but the size is that, or lack thereof, Greg, is that going to be prohibitive?
Yeah, well, then, you know, you get into someone like Justin Forsett, who just gained 1,200-plus yards in Baltimore in a zone scheme, and that's what predominantly was used at Nebraska for Abdullah, who I think is a really talented runner, John. Really. Maybe the most talented runner after Gurley in this draft class. Now, you hit it on the head with the size, and for fantasy, what does that mean? He won't be drafted like that because there'll be questions about his utilization in the NFL, and he'll become scheme-specific because he's going to have to be in his own scheme, in my opinion.
And did you notice on tape with pass pro, because he's just – he doesn't have the bulk. I'm sure he's willing, but –
right.
That could be an issue. Some small hands, and he fumbled. So he is a lot to like about him, but he does have some blemishes.
No question. No question. And that's for so-called smaller backs, that becomes an issue because he's not going to be seen by everybody clearly as a guy you can line up as your feature back, and that's valid. And see what you know, what I always try to do, John, and I know we're doing this for fantasy, is when you watch guys on film in college, you just look at the pros and the cons, the positives and negatives, and you just try to evaluate the player. There's no sense of, oh, he doesn't like him, or it has nothing to do with that. You just see the positives, the negatives, and how does then that transition to the NFL, and how did the players then get utilized?
Yeah, 900 touches as well during his college career. So
he's a
durable.
Really good runner. He's a really good runner.
Yeah, he is. And how about the receiving game, though, too, because he's a really good receiver. I believe he ran a variety of routes as well.
Yeah, I mean, the guy who's probably the similar in size and a really good receiver is the Miami kid, Duke Johnson.
Yeah, which is next on our list here, and that just goes to show, Greg, this is a pretty damn good draft class here.
It's really
for
good.
The running backs. It's really good because heck, Duke Johnson, look, shockingly the first back drafted. It wouldn't be a shock if Duke Johnson was like the second or third best back drafted, yet we've got him only at 6 here. A lot of Zuzu here, Greg, out of Miami, 5'9", 207. I'm sure you love the lateral agility with this kid.
Oh, for sure. I mean, he's got very easy fluidity. He can explode suddenly. You're exactly right. He's got explosive traits. He can stick his foot in the ground and accelerate. He can make people miss. And he ran a ton of routes. I mean, he both out of the backfield and off shifts and motions. He's your classic versatile back, John, with a multidimensional skill set. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's Thurman Thomas, but he's got that kind of runner receiver, ability where he could be both.
Wow. Also a really good blocker, Greg. I don't know if you caught that, but he was out there a lot. He caught 65 balls in just 2 years of action at Miami. Now, some injury issues there, broken ankle. So he does have some injury issues there and all that. Also a kick returner, but just yet another guy who is totally on the radar and could be quite impactful. So it is a great class. And here's another one, Greg. Tevin Coleman, Indiana, 5'11", 206. Not sure how much of his tape you saw here, but the kid ran for over 2,000 yards in 12 games. Give us your thoughts on Tevin Coleman.
Yeah, Tevin Coleman to me is, I struggled with him a little bit. I think he's a good back. He's a home run hitter. He's a downhill power back with home run hitting ability. I think he's a gap scheme runner, meaning counter power. I don't think he's a zone runner. To me, he did not have special qualities as a runner. When you think about patience, vision, elusiveness, I thought he was a guy that hit it downhill. He's a determined north-south runner, and there's always a place for those guys in the NFL. He can hit it, and he can go with explosive top-end speed. But I don't think he's as gifted a runner as the top guys.
Look, we all want our running backs to run behind great O-lines. Is he a kid who really it would be very good for him to go to a team that does have a good O-line? Otherwise, he could struggle a little bit?
Possibly. Possibly. I mean, he's not a loose-hipped kid. He's not shifty. You know, he's got pretty good size, not great size. You know, I think that he's a guy that may not have the complete running skill set and the needed size to be a true foundation back. But he is a home run hitter, and he's got a downhill mentality. When he sees it, he hits it.
I guess, yeah, to summarize here, the biggest question is he a sustainer?
I'm not sure. You know, again, that would be my question. You know, I'm not sure how well he can work in confined space. That NFL backs must control to be sustainers.
One guy who will be likely a sustainer if he gets the opportunity is David Cobb out of Minnesota, 5'11", 229. He's a meat and potatoes, kind of a no-nonsense
Absolutely.
Guy. Yeah, and he's another kid. I was at the combine. I talked to him for a brief minute, and he was very mature. I thought I was talking to a 30-year-old man, 230 pounds, Greg, built like a bowling ball. What'd you think of his tape?
I liked his tape a lot, actually, and I know that a lot of people will say, "Oh, he's not going to be a big time player because he's didn't have a great 40 time," which is about the 10th thing on the list of 10 things that you look at with running backs. He struck me as a guy who had similarities to two backs. He struck me as having similarities to Frank Gore, not quite as good, but similarities. And I thought he was a smoother, quicker Stephen Ridley type back, far more efficient as a runner. To me, he could transition to the NFL both in zone schemes or in gap schemes. He has both one-cut traits and downhill power traits. So I like him a lot. He's a sustaining runner. The 40-yard dash is irrelevant for Cobb. That's not the way he runs. He's not going to take it 60 yards to the house. And as we said when we talked about Melvin Gordon, not a lot of times do guys take it 60 yards to the house in the NFL.
Yeah, and he seems to have a great head on his shoulders too, understanding of the game and all that. Not a big receiving guy, but it's an interesting comparison there with Stephen Ridley, because as talented as Ridley is, he's not necessarily a guy with a great economy of movement, right? And you like Cobb
more than...
Cobb
has much more economy of movement.
Yeah, okay, there it is. So we're now eight backs deep, and we're still liking these guys. So again, very deep running back class. Now, the next group of players, Greg, we kind of hate to pigeonhole them, but look, we're just going off of everything they've done thus far. Role player types: Jeremy Langford, out of Michigan State, 6 foot, interesting prospect. Wouldn't be shocked to see him drafted a little earlier. He's a former wide receiver, former corner. He's a great athlete, 4.4 40, fastest at the combine at running back drills. But the agility stuff, middle of the pack. What did you see from Jeremy Langford?
Yeah, he's a guy who runs with a downhill mentality and a sustaining mindset, but the problem for him is he runs light. And he weighs 208. He's not 230. He runs light. And there's not really a physical dimension to his running style. And ultimately, I think that's going to be the reason he gets drafted a little later and ends up being a kind of a running back by committee guy. I don't think he's a guy who's going to be a feature back in this league, a foundation back. And he ran in gap schemes, power counter, which plays to the downhill mentality. But he just, as I said, and this is what you look for, is he just runs light. And that doesn't play real well in the NFL.
He is a pretty good route runner as a former wideout.
Yep.
So that could help in the world of fantasy. Moving on to Mike Davis out of South Carolina, 5'9", 217. 2-year starter there for the Gamecocks, 2,500 yards. He also pretty productive as a receiver, 70 catches in a couple of years. Does have some issues, though. Looks sluggish at times, out of shape, a little injured. Steve Spurrier's doghouse. Your thoughts on Mike Davis?
I would say by NFL standards, he's not a real highly skilled runner. But, again, he's got that north-south downhill mentality, and he's relentless. He's a highly determined runner, and that will earn him a spot on an NFL roster. And he'll play somewhere along the line. But he's a little tight-hipped. He's not shifty. But I tell you, this kid runs hard, and he's determined. And like I said, that plays.
You see any Frank Gore in him in terms of slipping through the cracks? No?
Okay. Nope. I do not see. I mean, in terms of how hard he runs, that's what, yes. But I don't think Frank Gore is a very loose, easy runner, and Davis is not.
Yeah, Gore does have the loose hips here. Josh Robinson, I know you did not see, so we'll skip and move on to David Johnson out of Northern Iowa. He's a name in this draft that a lot of people do talk about, and we only have him at 12. So again, the depth is great. 6'1", 224. He's huge, Greg. He tested well at the combine. He's a freak athlete. He was very durable, over 1,000 career touches. That's insane. Do you view him as kind of unique player in this draft at all? And what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't see him as a feature guy. I think that his size, his straight line speed, and his receiving ability is what's going to get him drafted. But I think you have to understand that's what he is. To me, his best chance to play significant snaps is with a team that deploys a lot of shotgun spread with 3 wide personnel. I think he would fit that perfectly. He's a really good receiver, and you almost saw him as a receiver like you think about wide receivers, you know, wide catching radius, natural hands. That's the way I saw him. Again, I think he's a big guy who doesn't run real hard. I think he's runs a little light, a little soft. So I see him more as a guy who'll be used in, you know, 3 wide situations to take advantage of his receiving ability.
Let me throw out some other names at running backs. We'll be here for 5 hours if we cover everyone, and obviously we'll reconvene after the draft when everything is kind of in focus. But Carlos Williams, Florida State, Buck Allen from USC, Matt Jones, Florida, Terrence McGee, LSU. Anyone here, you have something, you know?
Well, I've seen a lot of Buck Allen, and he's a very interesting guy because he's another guy who's a pretty good receiver. He's 220 pounds. I'm not sure exactly how tough he is, watching him, if he can handle him, you know, the workload. I know he did at times at USC. I think that there were times I thought that he was similar to Matt Forte, sort of the combination runner-receiver. So the people who like him might see him that way, and I could understand that comparison. Matt Jones is from Florida. He'll be a running back by committee guy, but he won't be for everybody. But teams that feature the run game as their offensive foundation will see value in him because he's a downhill runner with some natural power, deceptively quick feet. I actually liked Matt Jones. Again, what I'm trying to say here, I'm not suggesting he's, you know, going to get drafted in the first 2 rounds, but I think Matt Jones, for instance, is a far better runner than Carlos Williams.
Let's head on over to the wide receivers. And again, I will tweet out a link, and we'll do it at Fantasy Guru site, at Fantasy Guru site, if you want to read our profiles of all these players, because we just can't cover every single one of them. Plus, Greg, you're not like these other guys on the internet who somehow find the time to view like 1,000 players this time of the year. They know everything.
Yeah,
I don't know how these other guys do it, but I guess the answer is they don't.
You know what I do, John. So, I mean, again, I never would say anything about other people. I do what I do, and that's all I can do.
That's right. The voodoo that you do. Wide receivers here, and we're going to break these down here at the top. Potential franchise players. We do have Amari Cooper at number 1, stepped into that football factory at Alabama and did very well. He's a little different than a Julio Jones, probably more of a Z receiver. I want your thoughts on that. Big hands, just very polished, Greg. And he doesn't have blazing speed, but 4.240, not bad. Contested catches and all that. This kid looks like the complete receiver. May not be just a ridiculous stud, but he does look almost can't miss.
Well, his game's built on quickness and precision. And as a result, he can be effective in all three areas of route running, short, intermediate, and deep. And this kid understands how to use his vertical stem versus man coverage to set up corners. He understands how to find holes and voids and zones. He's really good working the middle of the field. It's really remarkable that for a guy who works the middle so effectively, he takes no big shots, and that's an art. I've had that discussion with Sterling Sharp. So this kid is really polished. I don't think he's, let's say, as explosive as Sammy Watkins coming out of Clemson last year. But Cooper is very, very polished and refined, which is very rare for a college receiver.
Kevin White out of West Virginia probably has a little bit more upside potential than Cooper, but the polished game of Cooper prompted us to kind of put him over Kevin White. But obviously, he blew everyone away, did White at the combine with the 4.35. 40, 6'3", 215, a little Larry Fitzgerald in terms of the body type. Your thoughts on Kevin White?
Yeah, Kevin White, you're drafting what you hope he'll become, because that kind of body, that kind of speed, that kind of explosive, powerful movement, that's what you're drafting. He's obviously a guy that needs refinement, and as pretty much 98% of them do, John, so that's not news. But you're drafting what you hope he can become because of the attributes and the traits.
And he's an X receiver all the way. Do you see him potentially for the Raiders being the prototypical number one go-to guy for Derek Carr?
Well, I think the game's changed a little bit in terms of X, Z. I mean, you know, right. Slot. I mean, there are still some guys who are certain things. You know, he aligned at X in West Virginia's offense, but also at times at Z and in the slot. They were a spread team, obviously. So, again, I think because of the size, you could look at him as an X, which means he's on the line of scrimmage because he can theoretically win against press being big and powerful. But he'll need to learn more about that. But he did that in college. But he's the perfect combination of powerful and fast. And you look at the body type and the movement, and some may see Terrell Owens down the road. You know, he's that kind of body type.
Now, if these two guys, White and Cooper, were in the draft last year, how would you have stacked them up against Sammy Watkins, Mike Evans, and Odell Beckham, to name three?
I think Watkins would have been my one. Beckham was my two last year. So I think Beckham and Cooper would be very similar to me. And White would be probably right at, you know, would be after that.
Those are the two potential franchise players, our next tier of future fantasy starters. And I know you love Breshad Perriman.
Heck, I do.
I loved his dad, Greg. That's how old I am. My first year at fantasyguru.com, his dad was one of my top receivers, sleeper receivers. I drafted him. He had 100 balls from Scott Mitchell, if you recall that year in 95.
I'm the Biggest Loser.
But Scott, go ahead.
You know, Perriman to me, and I actually talked to someone who brought this up. I didn't, and then I went back and looked at Perriman, and I could see it. Someone mentioned to me that he has similar size and movement traits to Dez Bryant. Wow. And see, I really like Breshad Perriman. I've said this before. I think Perriman, when all said and done, 3-4 years down the road, could be the best receiver in this draft class.
Wow.
And again, I don't know the kid. I don't know the kid. So it comes down to work ethic, all those other things. But just from seeing him on film, I could see that.
A very brief interaction with him at the combine. He seemed pretty good. That was a good interaction for what it's worth, which may be nothing. But I do have a good feeling after I, you know, just interact with these kids, get a feel for them. But yeah, he averaged 20.9 yards a catch and 20.8 the last 2 years. So you want big plays. That's it. Any red flags with him? I know he's had some issues with drops. Anything
I don't think that's been extreme though.
Okay.
You know, there's always issues with receivers entering the league because it's a different animal playing in the NFL. But I think you're dealing with – there's a lot to work with here. He's got all the physical tools and traits NFL teams look for. He played big and powerful. You know, he's got the NFL body. He's got the height-weight-speed combination and the long strides that eat up ground. So, you know, there's a lot to like with Rashad Perriman.
Yeah, and again, it's complicated because these guys move around a lot these days. But if you had to pick a spot, would you go X or Z with Perriman?
I would say that he's X probably. Yeah. That would, you know, that's what he did at Central Florida. He's an X.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He actually played a little slot there as well. Just goes to show these guys play everywhere. One guy who I didn't love at the combine, and again, in terms of interacting with him, I don't want to go all Teddy Bridgewater and say he wasn't demonstrative enough, but Devontae Parker out of Louisville, really soft-spoken, but he's, look, 6'3", 209. He's in the discussion in terms of the top wide receivers available, ran a decent, solid 4.5 40. Your thoughts on him? He did miss some time with a broken bone in his foot. He did tell me that that's all good to go. He looks like another X at the NFL level. When you watch Devontae Parker at Louisville playing with Teddy Bridgewater for a spell there, do you see a legit prototypical number one wide receiver in the NFL?
I went back and forth on this kid. I kept watching him and watching him, John. There's no question he's got size. He's smooth. He's fluid. You know, normally guys that are tall like that, that have size and length, they're deceptive as vertical route runners. So, you know, I try to think to myself, is he going to get on top of NFL corners? I would say that he's a little more measured and methodical. I wouldn't call him explosive, but again, the size can make guys more explosive than their movement. So I went back and forth on him, and I was trying to figure out at what how I saw him as an NFL prospect. You know, he's not A.J. Green. I don't see that, and I think some people do. I don't. So I really – the more I watched, the more I saw him as a size and length receiver with plus movement, but not a sudden guy, not a truly explosive guy.
Is he Alshon Jeffrey?
Oh, that's an interesting, you know, comparison. See, now I'll give you an example. I did not see him, and some will totally disagree with me, I did not see him as the same level of prospect as Davante Adams coming out of Fresno State the year before.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Davante Adams was a go-to guy.
And he was a second-round pick, and, you know, from everything I read, I guess we don't know till the draft comes, but Parker's going to be a first-round pick, but we don't know that till the draft happens.
Yeah, that my sense is that I'm not sure you're going to be thrilled with him unless it's very low in the first round. Moving on to number five here on our list, Greg, is Sammy Coates out of Auburn. Freakish athletic ability here, ran a 4.3 40 at the combine, 6'2", 213. Plays big. He'll mix it up as a blocker. Fairly explosive here and can take the top off of defense as well. So he looks like a good prospect.
Yeah, he's pretty much of a vertical threat at this point and will obviously be seen as a prospect worth drafting due to his size, speed, and explosive big play ability, John. I think he needs a lot of work at route running. I think he's not very compact. I think there are times, even as a vertical route runner, that he ran by a lot of college corners, but then seemed to slow down at times. He didn't run through all his vertical routes, but he made some great catches. And his size and his big-time speed will get him drafted. Now, I'll give you another guy that I don't think he's the same level of prospect as the guy I'm going to now mention, who was a fourth-round pick last year, and that was Martavis Bryant.
Yeah. Yeah, we actually made that comparison ourselves here. Do you view him as more of a Z at the next level, movement guy?
Oh, you know, I don't think he was predominantly the X for Auburn. I don't think he was. In those terms as much, I guess, as you do, because the NFL game is changing and how receivers get used. I mean, if a guy's got talent and they feel he's going to make plays, he's going to be on the field.
Yeah, maybe I'm just a little behind the eight ball here because they move around.
That's okay. I just don't think of it always. Some guys I do, some guys I don't.
Well, I actually had a mini argument, not an argument, but a disagreement. I did an interview with Steve Smith and I talked about him lining up at X. And he's like, I never lined up at X. I was like, well, you caught that touchdown, the tip pass on the Owen Daniels play. Remember that play?
Yes.
He was at X. But anywho, let's move on to our number six guy, Devin Funchess, out of Michigan, 6'4", 230, 232. A lot of people are wondering about where he's going to play. I asked him about it at the combine. I said, are you a tight end or a wide receiver? And he said he's a ball player or something. But
Right.
He didn't help us out here. But, you know, look, he moves like a tight end, but he's big. He's huge, Greg. Your thoughts on how Devin Funchess can help an NFL team?
Yeah, and again, these big wide receivers, and he's big, okay, they can be a tough evaluation because most big receivers, John, their movement tends to be more measured, not purely explosive, yet their size presents deceptive speed, and clearly most of these big guys can make contested catches versus man coverage, which is what the game's becoming a lot of now with back shoulder throws. So these guys, to me, are always a little hard to evaluate. I don't think he's as fluid a mover as Kelvin Benjamin when Benjamin came out of Florida State last year, and obviously Benjamin went late in the first round. I don't see Funchess at that level of receiver.
Wow. Okay. Let's move on.
You must.
We thought that he was maybe just laterally he moved a little bit better than Benjamin. Is that a fair statement?
Well, again, I don't see that, but believe me, yeah. This is, you know, others can see it differently. I'm okay with that, John.
You know, we brought up as a comparison, and he's actually a tight end, JerMichael Finley.
Interesting. Yeah, and Finley was obviously a tight end who aligned all over the formation. So I don't know. Yeah. Funchess could end up being sort of a hybrid, you know, depending on the team that drafts him and the imagination of the coach or coordinator.
Yeah, his fantasy value will hinge on what kind of eligibility he has in terms of, you know, remember Marcus Colston's first year, Greg, some people in fantasy were able to start him as a tight end. So
right,
that was big. Let's move on to Jalen Strong out of Arizona State, our number seven wide receiver, 6'2", 217. Very good, Greg, with contested catches and ball skills and all that. Your thoughts on Jalen Strong?
Yeah, Strong's interesting because I think that there's some similarities to Jordan Matthews. You know, I watched a lot of Strong. He struggled to win against good corners in college. He couldn't get into his routes against Marcus Peters, the corner from Washington. He had a tough time getting open versus Steven Nelson of Oregon State. He's a size, strength, contested catch receiver whose attributes are really specific, but there's some limitations. He's a guy that really doesn't run routes very compactly. So you have to think, where does Strong line up? I don't think you can line him up on the outside the numbers, and he's going to win isolation routes against quality NFL corners. He could well be a scheme guy, a slot guy, and I think ultimately that's how he's going to start in this league.
Who moves better, Strong or Matthews?
I think they're pretty similar. I think they're similar players, similar prospects.
Some vertical threats, too, in this draft, and we kind of broke them in their own group here. Your thoughts on Devin Smith and, of course, Philip Dorsett out of Miami, Devin Smith from Ohio State.
Dorsett's a blur. I mean, this kid is just ridiculous. I mean, I guess the comparison is to Sean Jackson in terms of lifting the top off the coverage.
Right.
But this kid's a blur. He's the most explosive receiver in the draft class to me. Now, certainly Smith from Ohio State has those kinds of traits as well, as far as lifting the top off the coverage and being a vertical guy. That's what he is. You know, I think he'll struggle a bit versus press coverage. I think Dorsett is probably a little more advanced as an overall receiver. But Smith's game to me is almost totally reliant on speed with almost no nuance at all at this point.
Right. Route running, is that a work in progress for him?
Oh, yeah.
The vertical threat?
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, that's true for most, but I think it's particularly true for him. But he's fast. I mean, and again, that's what not to be cliched, but you can't teach that. But he's not going to win on the outside versus NFL corners right now. You know, he'll run by on occasions, but he's not going to win, you know, nuanced routes. He's not at that level.
We're more than halfway done the wide receivers. We'll go a little quicker here on the bottom 10. We'll cover the tight ends, and we'll pretty much wrap this up, Greg, just so you know, another 15 minutes or so. And obviously, it's early April, and we're just getting started here with this rookie class. And like I said, personally, once these guys are drafted, boy, it's just so much easier for me to wrap my head around them.
Right. Well, Well, then you know really what team, what kind of coordinator, what kind of offense, who they're playing with. It's much easier. Yeah. But now we're just trying to transition guys to the league in general.
Yeah, no question about it. And one guy who could easily transition very well, but then again, he could be another Josh Gordon, is Doriel Green Beckham, 6'5", 237. We all know he's had a ton of baggage. I mean, probably worse than Jameis Winston if we're going to have a competition in that regard. So he's right now, he's been a bad dude. So that aside, your thoughts on the 6'5", 7 pounder? He looks like Calvin Johnson. In theory, he should be a nightmare for defenses and jump ball situations and the like. Again, the off the field stuff aside, it's a big time issue. What are your thoughts on Doriel Green Beckham?
He's a really interesting prospect, John. I mean, you're talking about a big, long, smooth, fluid wideout who at times looks effortless eating up ground. You know, he's one of those guys that when he faced corners who were playing off coverage, he took three steps and it seemed like he was 20 yards down the field.
Wow.
And therefore, he's very deceptive as a vertical receiver. You know, you don't call these guys quick twitch or sudden, but he's very smooth. He's very fluid. He's got size, body control, soft hands. He's a tough cover. Now, you mentioned Calvin Johnson. I've spoken to people who think he is Calvin Johnson. Now, we don't know. Calvin Johnson is a great guy, and we don't know enough about Green Beckham to know whether he's going to work at it. You know, there were times I didn't think he was as competitive as you'd like to see him, and that's always a concern as you transition a guy to the NFL. But you're dealing with a ton of physical tools to work with, and if they can be harnessed and developed, this is another kid you could be talking about him as the best receiver in this draft class.
Yeah. Unfortunately, a bit of a front runner too, Greg, kind of flipped it on and off at times and drops and all that. So there are some blemishes on the field as well, but it is all there for him physically. It's pretty incredible. Some immediate role players here as we move along here on the list here, wide receivers, number 11, Justin Hardy, East Carolina. And nothing special physically here, 5'10", 182, a 4'5", 40, but he does seem to be climbing up the draft boards. Good hands, I guess, Greg, is really his calling card. Any thoughts on Justin Hardy?
Yeah, you know what? I like Justin Hardy. I mean, to me, and I don't know if this guy's on your list here, John, I probably should have looked, but I think Justin Hardy and Rashad Green have some similarities. They're smaller than you'd ultimately like, but they have very good route quickness. Now, they played in different, totally different offenses, but I think their skill set and their size are equivalent. They're really subtle and deceptive with their quickness and their movement. They're good route runners. They're tough and competitive. Hardy in particular, I love the way he competed. He's got the mentality to play wide out in this league. He's very efficient in his movement, very little wasted motion, had a sense of how to get open. Justin Hardy is going to play in this league. I like him.
Yeah, probably never going to be a superstar, but he'll probably earn playing time early.
Well, that's relative because so many receivers now, as you well know, catch a lot of balls. I mean, you know, if a guy catches 80 balls, is he a superstar?
Yeah, you know, Jarvis Landry could be a superstar if you get a point per catch. So, yeah, it is relative. One guy I'm not real familiar with, Tony Lapet, Michigan State, 6'2", 192. I know he played all over the field, actually. Cornerback, some wide receiver.
Yeah, he did play corner. Yeah.
Yeah. He's another guy, not an elite athlete, though, but your thoughts on him?
You know, he kind of reminded me of, and I could see him ultimately down the road being similar to this guy, is Brandon LaFell. Because Brandon LaFell is not a number one in a strict sense. You know, he's a solid NFL wideout. He was in a really good system last year in New England, so he caught, I don't know, you would know the number better than I would, but I mean the numbers were pretty good, right?
Yeah. I'm going to guess probably not a ton. I'm going to guess 60 balls. Let's see here.
Yeah, and then maybe six touchdowns. I mean, he's not going to kill it in fantasy, but LaPette to me reminded me a little bit of LaFell. You know, kind of a quality possession type receiver.
He actually had 74. I forgot about that one huge game. He had 11 catch game in week 8. But yeah, they're both 6'2", Greg, as well.
Yeah, I mean, and LaFell's not going to average 16 or 17 yards a catch. He's not that guy. You know, I think LaPette is, you know, a guy who with good size, physical nature to him because he plays defense. He'll work between the numbers. He's pretty refined as a route runner. He's an interesting prospect. He's not going to be a high pick, but he's the kind of kid that could make a team and end up playing.
One kid that I interviewed on the radio a couple of weeks ago, small school kid, Trey McBride out of William & Mary, 6'2", 210. Also compared, actually threw out that name, Brandon LaFell, to Trey McBride. And he kind of liked the comparison, good after the catch, pretty good size. He looks like a real solid prospect here, Greg. I don't know if you have any thoughts on Trey McBride.
Yeah, no, I watched him. I think that he was at his best as kind of a one-cut route runner where he, just ran a route, stuck his foot in the ground, and made his move, and he showed pretty good quickness. I think he's a little more of a straight line guy at this point. He's kind of a speed cut receiver, not necessarily kind of your sink your hips and explode out of breaks. He needs to sort of plan and burst. The question is, even though he ran, I think, a pretty good 40 on film, to me, and again, he's a smaller college kid, so it's sometimes hard to tell. He didn't quite look like he had that kind of play speed, but I think he's got a chance. I mean, I don't. To me, a smaller school guy who I really liked was kid from Central Michigan, Titus Davis. I don't know if he's on your list. He may not be, but I think he's a kid who looks like an NFL wideout.
Yeah, we have him as like a rotational guy.
Right.
6'1", 196. What else do you like about Titus Davis?
Well, I liked him more than McBride overall. I think that he had a really good understanding of route running. He had short area quickness. The key to his game, if he's to be successful, is he's going to have to create separation on short to intermediate routes versus NFL corners. If he can do that, he'll be a solid NFL wideout because that he'll have to be able to do that. He's not a vertical guy.
Moving on here, how about Tyler Lockett? His dad, Kevin Lockett, was in the league when I was doing this website, fantasyguru.com, so it's been a while. A lot of guys that I covered, they're kids now. Does he look like a slot guy to you?
Probably, and I think people will be all over the board with him because there were times I watched him and I thought he had great quickness. And then there were other times I watched him where I didn't think he had it. So I kept going back and forth on him. Ultimately, I think he would be a slot guy because you have to think how many guys in the NFL with his size are high-level wideouts who play on the outside. I mean, you look at T.Y. Hilton, who plays on the outside at times, obviously, for Indianapolis. I don't think he's as explosive as T.Y. Hilton, personally. So when you think about it that way, you think, okay, where is this guy going to play in the NFL? And it's likely to be the slot.
Yeah, if you're 5'10", 182, if you're going to consistently line up outside, you better be special, like a Sammy Watkins, I guess. Nelson Aguilar, USC. He's a guy that a lot of people are talking about. I'm not as familiar with him, but I know that, you know, not afraid to work the middle of the field. So he could be another guy who's a slot guy. Any thoughts on him?
I think he's going to start that way, but he's a very interesting guy to me because I think he can become more than that down the road. I think now he's a complementary receiver. He's got a lean build. I think there's room for growth. He's naturally quick. He's got good hands. I think he has a good understanding of how to be a route runner. I think, like we said, he'll start in the slot. I think he's more fluid and naturally quicker than, let's say, Robert Woods when he came out of USC. He's a natural hands catcher, and I think if he can, you know, gain a little weight, which I think he can in an NFL weight room without really losing any of his quickness, I think he's a guy that could transition over time to being a guy you line up outside the numbers and be effective.
We've covered a ton of wide receivers, 15 plus here, so we'll move on to the tight ends. Obviously, we'll reconvene after the draft and break these guys down basically by their relevance based on where they get drafted and obviously the skill sets as well. I will tweet out a link to the pre-draft report that we have up there. It does not require a subscription if you'd like to check that out, because we're obviously not going to be able to get to everyone, Greg. But let's go to the tight end. Great class, but you know, two, three guys here who look like they've got a real chance. We do have Max Williams at one, future fantasy starter. Pretty weak class here, so you know, that take it for what it's worth. But he did very well at the combine, Greg. Very soft hands, very natural receiver. Maybe he's not a stud, but really makes it kind of look easy.
Yeah, and I think to me, it's funny you say that, because I said he had some similarities to a young Jason Witten with his combination of size and movement, and maybe a little bit better natural athlete than Witten was. Of course, people don't remember Witten when he came out, which was, what, 11, 12 years ago. He was a better mover than he is now. He was never Jimmy Graham, but he was a better mover than he is now.
He was kind of like that stud athlete, though. He was kind of like right there 10 years ago, Greg.
Because the Julius Thomases and the Jimmy Grahams, they weren't even really thought about in terms of tight ends, you know. But I think that Williams will be an NFL starter. He's a willing participant as a blocker. He didn't really line up in line very often in Minnesota's offense. He was more of sort of a flex guy, a movement guy, so you didn't see him do a lot of that. He was kind of the move tight end in their offense. But I think that he's, you know, you saw him run what are kind of straight line linear routes, seams, wheels, crossers, and he has good speed. He could beat safeties and linebackers.
Good size there at 6'4", 249, not overwhelming, but solid. Clive Wofford is 6'4", as well, 251. He's number two on our list out of Miami. Looks like another hurricane who's going to be impactful at this position. Really improved as his career went on, had some injury issues, but did very well at the Senior Bowl, tested well at the combine. He's kind of an ascending guy, a former basketball player at 6'4", 251. Do you happen to like Wofford more than Max Williams, or do you agree with our rankings of Williams, Wofford?
Some teams will look at him and they'll fit what they do more than Williams, because he's got more extensive experience as a run blocker, and he's probably better working in the middle of the field in the pass game than Williams at this point. You know, he kind of reminded me, and tell me what you think of this comparison, he kind of reminded me of Dwayne Allen coming out of Clemson as a combination tight end with blocking and receiving skills.
Yeah, Dwayne Allen was like that, just that one step down athlete. You know what I mean? Not the freak, but complete player.
And that's what Wofford is. Wofford's not. If Wofford was a great, great athlete, he'd be number one. But he's not. Right. But I think he kind of, you know, he's not as fast a straight line accelerator as, let's say, Max Williams. But I think he's a little bit better running routes.
Gotcha. Now, it's not a great class, so boy, it's tough to rank them going
forward. I'll give you a couple
here.
Of names that I'm sure on your list that I think are going to be intriguing down the road, okay? Gotcha. And then none of these guys might be your fantasy guys for this year, John.
None of them are tight end, Greg. It's a real tough position for rookies.
The two guys who I think are most intriguing to me are Tyler Kroft from Rutgers.
Yes.
Who I think has some movement similarities to Zach Ertz.
Yeah, good kid, too. I met him at the combine. Real good kid.
And maybe one of the most fascinating guys in this draft, because he's a smaller school guy, is Nick Boyle from Delaware.
Yeah.
Who's
6'4.5"
Yeah, 6'4.5" and 268. And he's got a lot more route quickness than you would think. Now, he's not a vertical guy. He's not going to, you know, you're not going to line him up outside like Julius Thomas, and he's going to beat safeties on go routes. But he's got deceptive route quickness to win between the hashes, between the numbers. And he gets in and out of breaks much better than you would think, given the fact that he's built almost like a an offensive tackle. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's Rob Gronkowski. He's not. But he moves way better than you would think for a 268-pound man.
Good blocker as well. Any thoughts on, you know, Jack Nicklaus's grandson, Nick O'Leary?
Yeah, I watched quite a bit of him.
Michael
To me, Leary's is a real solid second tight end. You know, he's not big enough or athletic enough to really be a starting tight end, but he'd be a really good second tight end.
You know, Michael Pruitt, Greg, not big at 6'2", hands though, and he was the most productive guy. He's the 40 guy this year, Greg, as you know. He's I guess the Chris Gregg of this draft class. Any thoughts on Pruitt?
Yeah, and he doesn't play like that on film. I mean, he's not slow, but you don't watch him on film and go, wow, that guy's fast. I think he's a splash player in college. You see some movement, you see receiving ability, and you go, wow, that's pretty good. But there's such a wide variation in his play on film, John, that you see the athleticism, but he doesn't play to it consistently enough. So you ask yourself, can a coach pull it out of him? Because there are tools to work with. And he was willing as a blocker. I mean, this guy is a definite NFL prospect as a combination receiving, blocking, tight end.
Now, we do have Jeff Huerman at 3 on our list out of Ohio State. Are we overselling Jeff Huerman?
It's not a matter of overselling. I think that if Huerman were to become all that he can be, and you know, you never know if that's going to happen, some might think that could develop into a Heath Miller type player. But you know, in OSU's offense, they didn't really feature the tight end, so the production, the numbers are not there as far as receptions. But he's pretty talented. He's got a multidimensional skill set. I think he's not as good a blocker as his size would suggest, but I think that can be taught.
Still a developing player there. And Tyler Croft, I don't think we got any thoughts on him out of Rutgers. He did have an injury at the combine. He was really upset about it, but again, seems like a good kid. But you like him, compare him to Zach Ertz.
Yeah, and I think he's a more competitive blocker. I think he could be the wild card to me in this draft class at the tight end position. You know, maybe the kind of guy that you don't know anything about him his first year in the league, and then all of a sudden, you know, year two, year three, he becomes a good player.
Yeah, we do have Croft at 4. So there it is. That's a good 75 minutes inside the brain of Greg Cosell. It's a good place to be this time.
Oh, I don't know about that.
It's fine. It's the NFL is a 12-month deal now, so being in your brain is cool. Normally we take a little break.
I appreciate that, John. I appreciate that a lot. Thank you.
It's a good time. So follow Greg on Twitter at Greg Cosell. We'll be back with Greg after the draft in probably 4 weeks from now, right around now. And
the draft ends May 2nd, so I'm sure we'll get together the week after that, as we normally do, right, John?
Yes, we do our little powwow in the office. We may get some star power at this year's powwow. Like, for example, former fullback John Ritchie wants to attend this year, Greg. So
I resemble that remark. I thought I was the star power.
Well, true. That is true. You are a superstar, but John did play like 8 or 9 years in the NFL, and he may tag along. You never know who's going to show up.
No, I'd love John to come by. I know John. He's a terrific guy and very smart, by the way.
Very smart, and he thinks very highly of you, so that's why. He's not coming to talk to me, Greg, although he does like me, but if he comes, it'll be because of you. But anywho, we digress, and thanks for the information, Greg. Great stuff as always. For Greg Cosell, I'm John Hansen. We'll talk to you next time.